Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
I want you to imagine a pretend scenario. Actually, two pretend scenarios. So, first one, a baby is born, everything is good, the newborn is healthy, but a couple months later, the parents take the baby back to the hospital. They're concerned. The baby is not gaining weight, doesn't seem to be progressing. So the doctors examine the baby, and they come back with their diagnosis, failure to thrive. They're very concerned. The baby is not growing the way it should. And so they start asking the parents questions. Is the baby getting enough milk? Milk? No, we like Dr. Pepper, Diet Dr. Pepper, actually, so we give that to the baby. You know, we figured if it's good enough for us. No, your baby needs milk, not Dr. Pepper. Diet Dr. Pepper. So babies need human touch. Are you holding the baby enough? No, see, we had never held a baby before this one, and so it's a little weird. We just leave it in the crib. No, baby needs to be held. You need to hold it. Okay, what about sleep? A baby needs sufficient sleep. Is the baby getting enough sleep? Well, probably not. See, we're in a rock band, and the band comes over every night. We jam through the night. It gets pretty loud, and that baby's up there crying all night long. Doesn't seem to like it at all. If that was a true story, you would say, of course. Of course that baby isn't growing. Of course it's not going to thrive without milk and human touch and sleep, right? Of course. Okay, pretend scenario number two. A couple fall in love, decide to get married, they celebrate. A few years later, they're both miserable. They don't feel like they love each other anymore. Decide to go see a marriage counselor. The counselor asks questions. Tell me, how do you communicate? When do you talk? We don't. We don't have enough time. We don't talk. Oh. Okay, how about dates? Are you going out on dates? Do you go on a date once a week? How often? We don't do dates. We don't do any dates. Wow. Okay, how do you serve each other? Like, how have you divided up responsibilities around the house? How do you serve each other? Yeah, we don't do that either. We don't. You don't serve each other? No. Okay, let's talk about conflict resolution. When you get in a fight, how do you work it out? What process do you follow? We don't resolve it. We just stay bitter. If you heard that, if that was a true story, you would say, of course. Right? Of course that couple doesn't have a happy marriage. You cannot be happily married without communication and dates and serving each other and forgiveness. Okay, now for a true story. True story. I meet with someone, friend, who stopped coming to our church. Started coming a few years ago, learned about Jesus for the first time here, came to faith here, was very excited about God, excited to grow, and that's the problem. He hasn't. And so we sit down to eat breakfast together at this restaurant, and he tells me that he is frustrated. In fact, he's quit. He says, this God thing, it's just not working for me. Maybe I'm not the type. Maybe I'm not the God type. I don't know. I just know that I have not grown. I'm no different than I was. I don't feel close to God. I don't feel close to people at church. So, question. What do you think his problem is? If you were sitting across the table from him, what would you say to him? What questions would you ask him? And by the way, just to be clear, that question, what is his problem, is a really important question for you, because maybe you're kind of feeling that way. You know, perhaps you've believed in Jesus for a while, maybe coming to church for a while, but maybe you feel like you haven't really grown. Maybe you don't feel much closer to God or close to people at church. Or perhaps you're not feeling that way today, but maybe someday you might. I hope not, but maybe. And so, what's the problem? You might think maybe this guy didn't have enough faith. I don't think that's the problem. You might think maybe he didn't care enough. I don't think that's the problem. You might think maybe he just didn't try hard enough. I don't think that's the problem. So what is the problem? Here's my guess, and I'd bet on this guess. My guess is that he did not establish faith habits. Faith habits. That's what I'm going to call them. So like, with my two pretend scenarios, it was all about habits, right? All about. Like, if you have a baby, you better establish and consistently keep habits of giving milk to the baby, holding the baby, getting enough sleep for the baby. If you get married, if you want a happy marriage, you better establish and consistently keep habits of talking to each other and going out on dates and serving each other and conflict resolution. It's all about habits. You'd have no hope without establishing and consistently living out the right habits. But by the way, do you know what that's true of? Everything. Like basically everything in life, that's true of. And it's definitely true spiritually. Spiritually. I'm gonna let you in on something that I haven't. So as a pastor, do you know what's like the highlight for me of being a pastor and the low light? I don't even think that's a word. I think I just made up low light. I don't know. The highlight for me is when we have baptisms. Baptism is a little ceremony a person goes through, kind of almost like a wedding ceremony, where when a person puts their faith in Jesus, wants to have a relationship with God, they go through this little ceremony, and people are so excited for it. And what's cool is God is more excited because God loves this person, wants to be in a relationship with this person, now gets to be. Highlight for me, baptisms. Low light, baptism videos. So a week or two before we do baptisms, we usually show a baptism video. The reason is most people come to Verve were not going to church when they came here. Most had never gone to church like their whole lives. So when we say baptism, like, what's baptism? So we like to show a video so people be like, oh, that's baptism. So we show these videos with like dozens of people getting baptized here at Verve. And the reason it's a low light is because quite a few of those people in any of those videos don't come to church anymore. Some of them moved away from Vegas. That's obviously going to happen. But for quite a few of them, it's they just kind of drifted away. They fell away. And I think the problem in almost every case is that those people did not establish faith habits. So a couple of minutes ago, I asked you, what would you say if you were sitting on the other side of the table? What would you say to that person? What would you ask that person? Here's what I would ask. I would ask, hey, can I ask you about the habits that you've established or haven't established since you came to faith? Because there are faith habits that connect you to God and connect you with other people, that help you feel different about life and help you make a difference with your life, that lead you to feel loved and lead you to become a more loving person. Really, I think we could almost say that these habits make up the Christian life. And I wonder if you've established those habits in your life. If not, maybe you came to faith. You may have become a Christian, but honestly, you haven't been living the Christian life. And so you wouldn't know if this God thing works for you or not because you've never really tried it. You haven't tried the God thing. You just believe in God. And so I'm wondering, I would ask him, have you consistently showed up at church? Not occasionally, but consistently. Have you prioritized spending time with God every day, like reading the Bible and praying? Have you given generously to God? Not just throw in a little cash randomly, but have you made giving to God a financial priority for you? Are you in a Verve group? If so, do you show up consistently? Are you on a Verve team where you're serving and making a difference? Do you have some friends who don't go to church who you've been praying for and loving and trying to share your faith with and invite to church? Listen, if the answer to some of those questions is no, well then, of course. Of course, just like a baby can't thrive without milk and sleep, a Christian can't thrive without these six habits. I've never known anyone to thrive as a Christian without these six habits. Now, if you do them, I'm not promising you a perfect life with nonstop growth. But if you do them, you will definitely have set yourself up for the best possibility of a great life with lots of growth. And the cool thing is that growth, that spiritual growth, will positively impact every other area of your life. You'll be a better employee or boss, a better husband, a better wife, a better parent, everything. And I think we all want that, right? And here's the cool thing. That's available to us. It's available to us through a connection with God, and we stay connected. We grow in our connection with God through these six habits. So, last year, as I kind of thought about Verve, our church, and where we're at, I realized maybe I haven't been communicating this in a way that everyone is getting it. Because we have lots of people who come to our church and are not engaging in these six core habits. And I have to assume that if you come here, you want to experience God. If you come here, you want to know and love God more. You want to have some friends to do life with. You want to make your life count. Well, these six habits are the way you do that. And without these six habits, I don't think you can do that. If you're not doing them, I have to wonder, maybe even assume that it's my fault, that I haven't been communicating them clearly enough. And if that's the case, I want to tell you, I'm sorry. And I want to make it impossible for someone to come here and not get these habits. I want to make it impossible for somebody to come here and wonder why it is that they're not growing. And so if that's you, I want to help you in that way. And so, listen, if you're not growing, if you're not feeling connected to God and connected to others in the church, if you're not making a difference with your life, it should be obvious why. It's because you're not engaging in these habits. And so today what I want to do is introduce these habits. I want to make this as so easy for you to get and to remember. In fact, as easy as 1, 2, 3. And so I'm going to introduce the habits today, and it's going to be kind of a lot to take in, but we're going to keep on talking about this throughout the year. And we have a way for each of these habits to make it easy for you to start engaging in it. And if you take this seriously today, you will thrive. And I'll stop feeling sad when I watch the baptism videos. And so if you can't do it for you, maybe do it for me. So we're going to make this easy to remember. We're going to break these habits into three areas. 1, 2, 3. 1 God, 2 communities, 3 friends. 1 God, 2 communities, 3 friends. So 1 God who I commit to putting first in my life. 1 God who I commit to putting first in my life. How do you put God first in your life? Like, how do you practically do that? 3 of these 6 habits help you to do that. We put God first in our week by going to a church service like this one, where we get to learn about God and worship, sing to God with other people. And so, like, you've already done the first habit this week. Look at you. Give yourself a hand. You're on the path. Yeah. So here's the deal. There is probably some things that you do every single week, right? Like, if you thought about it, you're like, yeah, there are some things I do every week. Like, you probably do laundry every week because it's important to you to have clean clothes. Unless you're okay re-wearing dirty underwear, in which case, don't tell me and don't ever sit next to me, okay? You probably go grocery shopping every week because it's important to you to eat. And God asks us to put Him first in our week by going to a church service every week. Here's one way the Bible says this in the book called Hebrews, the New Testament. It says, let us help each other to love others and to do good. Let us not stay away from church meetings. Some people are doing this. I mean, at some point you have to ask yourself, like, what's more important to me? Doing laundry or God who loves me and died for me. Because the truth is, there's always a reason not to do the laundry, right? Like, you got a lot of stuff going on, you're busy, but it's like, I have to do the laundry. Like, it just has to be done. And there's always a reason not to come to church, right? There's a lot of stuff going on, your kids have activities, there's a lot of, but you just find a way to do it anyway. And by doing that, you put God first in your week. But not only does it help you put God first, it also helps you. Like, if you've been coming for a while, have you ever come and something happened in the service that just hit you? Like, you know, and I know it happens because so many of you, and it's very kind of you, like out in the lobby, or you'll email me and you'll say, Vince, something you said today was exactly what I needed to hear. Like, it was weird. Like, it was like, exactly what I need to hear is what you said. Or you'll say, man, something happened to me during a song today. Wow. Like, I needed that. That's awesome, right? But do you know what happens here the weeks that you're not here? Something is said that is exactly what you needed to hear. Or something happens in a song that is exactly what you needed, but you miss it because you're not here. And so we want God to be first in our lives. We put him first in our week. God gives us this way by going to a church service. Then we put God first in our day by spending time with him. Again, there are some things that you probably do every single day, right? You don't think of it that way, but like, you eat every day, you sleep every day, you go to the bathroom every day. Unless you don't, then don't tell me and don't ever sit next to me. And so, listen, God asks us to put him first in our day, every day, by spending time with him. Spending time doing what? Communicating with him. Listening to what he has to say through reading the Bible, and then sharing with him what we have to say through prayer. I'm going to tell you guys something. I'm pretty sure I've never told you this before. So my wife and I, we met and we fell in love. We were both in college in New York. And then she finished up college. She stayed in New York for 2 more years. But we had a long distance relationship. The first 2 years of our dating, I went to law school in Illinois, and then I was in seminary in Ohio. And so we were apart for our entire dating experience from right when it started till 2 years later. And here's what you don't know. During that time, we never communicated. We did not talk on the phone. We did not write letters. We did not email each other. We never communicated. And then finally, 2 years later, she graduated from college, and she moved to where I lived, and we were so in love, we got married. No, that's not what happened. That would be absurd, right? Like, if we did have a long-distance relationship, but if we never communicated, we would not have ended up in love and getting married. We would have ended up falling out of love and breaking up, right? And we know that because, like, relationships grow through communication. That's how they grow, right? Like they grow as you share your heart with a person, as you share your thoughts, your dreams, your fears. And listen, if you don't communicate with God consistently, regularly, every day, your relationship with him will not grow. Relationships can't grow without communication. But if you do this, I just said do, then when you read the Bible, you're allowing God to share his heart with you. When you pray, you're sharing your heart with God. And you will have intimacy growing every day. And you'll be making God a priority by putting him first in your day every day. Listen, there is always, every day, you have a reason not to eat, not to sleep, not to poop. But you do it anyway, right? It's like, I'm busy. It would be nice to skip a meal. It would be nice to not sleep tonight. I've got lots of other things to do. But you never would do that. It's like, they're too important not to do. And there's every day this year, I promise, every day you're going to have a reason not to read the Bible. Every day there's going to be a reason not to pray. But you just decide it's too important. I have to do it. Now listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 35. He said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. He's saying, listen, just like you need food every day, you need me. And so come to me every day. So we decide we're going to spend time with Jesus every day. And we try to make this easy at Verve by having this vervecatalyst.org site. We put a lot of time into this. On Verve Catalyst, you will find ideas to help you have a meaningful prayer time every day. And you will find a Bible reading plan that will give you one chapter of the Bible to read, probably take you 3, 4, 5 minutes to read a chapter. And then every day there's a blog post that goes with that chapter that gives you background information on the chapter as well as questions that you can use to apply that chapter to your life. And we do that. A lot of people come here and never read the Bible. And they're like, I wouldn't know where to start. I don't know how to read the Bible. Man, it makes it really easy. We want God to be first in our lives. And so we need to put him first in our week and in our day. And then we put God first in our finances by giving generously to him. Again, there are some things that you spend money on consistently, right? Like you spend money on your mortgage or rent because it's important to you to have a place to live. You spend money on gas because it's important to you to be able to get around. You spend money on toilet paper. Okay, let's not go there. But if you don't sit next to me. You give your money to things because they're a priority to you, and God asks us to make him our priority by giving money to him. Check out what he says in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 23. It says, the purpose of tithing, here's why you tithe, is to teach you to always put God first place in your life. The word tithing literally means tenthing. It's tenthing. The idea was to give God the first 10% of whatever you took in. God asks us to make him a priority with our money. In fact, want to hear something interesting? God talks in the Bible more about our money and what we're to do with it than any other topic. If you've ever wondered, like, I wonder what the Bible talks about the most, it's what we should do with our money. Why? I think it's because God knows that money is his chief competition for the top spot in most of our lives. And so he has to deal with it. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, he said, you cannot serve both God and money. Well, listen, it's a big deal to God. It's a priority to God, and he asks us to make him a priority with our money. And that's why God says over and over and over more than anything else that we should give to him first, generously, and consistently. So God tells us to give to him first. And the idea is the first thing we do with each paycheck is give some of it back to him. So like Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. The reason it says crops is they lived in an agricultural, bartering kind of society. So crops was like their money. And God is saying, hey, don't wait till like the end and see how many apples or how much wheat you have left over. As soon as you take in the crop, you give the first part to God. And so for us, instead of just throwing whatever bill I happen to have in my wallet in the offering or waiting till the end of the month and seeing if I have any money left over to give to God, instead, we make a prayerful decision about how much we're going to give to God, and then we make that payment to God the first thing we give our money to. We make him our priority. He's first. God says to give to him first and to give to him generously. Check out Romans chapter 12, verse 8. He says, give generously. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11 says, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. So the idea there is that God generously blesses you so you can give generously and bless others. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7, just as you excel in everything else, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, see that you also excel in the grace of giving. So we decide to give to God first, and we give to him generously. We decide how much we're going to give, and like it should be an amount that matters to us, that shows that God is a priority to us. And here's the cool thing. When you do this, there's going to be this unexpected benefit. It will grow your love for God. When you give to God, it will grow your love for God. Jesus said this. So for instance, he said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Isn't that true that you can tell what a person cares about by looking at what they spend their money on, right? And the inverse is true too, that the more money you spend on something, the more you will care about that something, right? Like if you bought an old beater car, for a couple hundred bucks, and you picked your friend up in it. Your friend is standing on a street corner eating McDonald's. Your friend says to you, "Do you mind if I eat in your car?" You'd be like, "Dude, you can poop in my car. Like, have you seen my..." I'm setting a record for the most time saying the word poop today. But you'd be like, "Look at my car. Do you really think I care if you eat my car? Go ahead and eat my car," right? But if you saved up a lot of money and spent a lot of money on a nice car, you pick up your friend, he's eating McDonald's, he says, "Can I eat in your car?" "No, you cannot eat in my car. I don't even breathe McDonald's in my car," right? Because you spent money on it. You care about it now. And here's the reality. When we give God more of our treasure, he becomes more of a treasure to us. God tells us it's one of the most, if not the most important ways, critical ways that you can grow closer to God. And so if you choose not to give, you're losing a vital way to grow closer to God and love him more. And again, we try to make this easy at Verve, and the way we do it is by offering online giving. Because God not only says to give to him first and generously, he also says consistently, and that's a challenge, right? Because most of us probably don't carry checkbooks. I don't. Most of us probably don't carry a lot of cash around. So even if you decide, "Yeah, I'm going to give to God generously," you show up, you just don't have it on you, and so you can't. Or you don't show up, you're sick, you're out of town, whatever, and so you can't. And that's the beauty of online giving. If you go to vivalaverve.org/donate or to the free Verve app on your smartphone, you can set up online giving. And so you decide how much you want to give, and if you want that to be a weekly thing, every other week, once a month, whatever, and then you can just set up so it happens automatically. And the beauty of that is now you're giving consistently, and when you give consistently, you're making God a priority. So, 1, 2, 3. One, God, who I can admit to putting first in my life, and then two communities. Two communities that I connect with consistently. So, hopefully, if you come here, if you come here every week, man, you're going to learn and you're going to get to sing and worship God with a bunch of people, and hopefully that's educational and inspirational, but what won't happen is you won't make friends. You probably won't make friends here, and so you don't have people to do life with, and you won't make an impact. Like you're not making the difference that you could with your life. And that's why God's idea has always been for people to meet in a large group and in smaller groups. Today, I want to encourage you to consider getting into two communities. The first is a Verve group. So when Christianity first started, and we get a picture of that in a Bible book called Acts, A-C-T-S, we get to see the first Christians, the first churches, and what happened is they met in a large group and they met in smaller groups. That was God's idea, and we need that too. We need large group like this. We need smaller groups, and that's why we offer Verve groups. Verve groups are like 6 people to 16 people who meet once a week to share life together, laugh together, support each other, learn together, grow together. And we've got all kinds of groups. We've got men's groups, women's groups, mixed groups. We have groups for people who like groups. We have groups for people who don't like groups. Nobody shows up for those groups or lonely groups. No, we don't. But here's how we try to make this easy. We do semesters. So we do 2 semesters a year. And the cool thing is when the semester ends, you have a choice. You can get back in the same group, you can try a different group, and you get a break. You get a summer break, you get a Christmas, New Year's kind of break. Our new groups are starting in February, and you can sign up for those next week, and I hope you will, because we all need 2 communities to connect with. First, a group, and second, a team, a Verve team. Man, anyone excited for the Steelers-Chiefs game today? Anybody going to watch that? Yeah? Anybody excited for the Cowboys-Packers game today? Anybody excited for the figure skating championship? We're not. And the reason is we like teams, right? We like teams. And I made that up. I don't even think there are figure skating championship today. I don't know. But we like teams. And here's a cool thing. God wants you on a team. So a Verve team is where you volunteer and make an impact through serving. And which is so cool because I think we all want to make a difference with our lives. We want our lives to count. And I know that God wants our lives to make a difference. And that's why God says that every person in a church should have a volunteer position in that church. In a book called 1 Corinthians, in chapter 12, God says that he gives each person abilities. You might feel like, I don't think I have any abilities. You do. God says you do. But what's really interesting is he doesn't call them abilities. He usually calls them gifts. He says that he's given you gifts. And I think there's two reasons he calls them gifts. One is because he gave those abilities as a gift from him to you. Okay, and so it's not like you manufactured that ability. He gave you that as a gift. And second, and more important, he gave it to you so that you could give it away to others. So it's a gift that you have to give to the world. Check out 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 4. It says, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. Here we go. A spiritual gift is given to each of us, so here's why, we can help each other. And so the idea is you have a part to play in the church you attend. You have a part to play here, a part that God made you for. He designed you with a purpose to do something here. If you don't play your part, our church can't function at full capacity. And when you do play your part, not only is our church better, but your life is better. Because it's fun to serve, we grow through serving, we connect with others through serving, and we make a difference. And so I mean, we have a variety of Verve teams. Most of our serving positions require no previous experience. We train you up, and you will have a blast serving with others. Here's how we make this easy. We do what we call first serves. So a first serve means that instead of like signing up for life, like you're like, I don't know if I'm going to like this, but you know, here's my name in blood kind of thing. You sign up to serve one time as a kick the tires trial kind of thing. What you'll do is you'll shadow someone else who already does that position just to try to determine, is this a good fit for me? If it's a good fit, awesome, we'll get you on the team. If it's not a good fit, we'll let you try something else until you find a good fit. And there are always some positions that are open for someone who wants to try a first serve, like children's ministry, tech team, quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. It's really funny. And the second service, like, nobody laughed. I'm like, that's a really funny joke. You need to know a little bit about football, I guess, but it's pretty funny. We would love to get you on a team, and God wants you on a team. Okay, 1, 2, 3, right? One God, 2 communities, 3 friends. One God, 2 communities, 3 friends. Three friends, 3 people I am compassionately sharing God with. 3 people I'm compassionately sharing God with. So when you experience something good in life, you want to share it with other people. Right? Like we all do. You see a great movie, it's like you want to tell people about that movie. You go to a new restaurant, it's awesome, you want to tell people, try this restaurant. You get a new app on your phone that's really helpful, you tell people about the app. And the same should be true spiritually. When you start living in a relationship with God, and you start engaging in these habits, it changes your life. Like, your life gets so much better, and you're connecting with other people in church, and you want to share that with other people, and here's the cool thing, is when you share it, you think you're doing it because you want to help the other person, but it turns out that maybe nothing else grows your faith like you sharing your faith with another person. I mean, it grows you. And God loves those other people who need to hear about him and about what he's doing in your life. And that's why Jesus' main command to us was to share him with other people. He said it a lot, but Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and then he, Jesus, told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Now, On one hand, it's natural to share something good that's happening in your life. On the other hand, this makes us nervous, right? Like that verse that says, preach the good news. It's like, I don't think I'd be very good at preaching to people. And listen, that's why what makes it easier, what makes it work, is to do this with people you know, not strangers. I'm not asking you, I'm not encouraging you to go out in the streets, and to lead with love. To lead, instead of feeling like I got to go out and tell everybody about what I believe and try to get them to believe what I believe, how about we just love people? Like that does most of the work. And instead of just trying to convince people of our truth, we lead with love. Okay, but another thing that makes us nervous is there's a lot of people out there. Like that verse said, share the good news with everyone. I'm just one person. What am I supposed to do? And that's why I want to encourage you to just pick three people. You pick three people who, as far as you know, aren't going to church, don't have like an active relationship with Jesus. And so I'm going to pick three people that I'm going to focus on in hopes that maybe I can help them to experience and know God and love Jesus. Maybe you say, okay, but what do I do with those three people? Like, I could come up with three people, but what would I do with them? I'm going to give you a plan, and it's going to sound cheesy. Like, I hate it. Whenever I hear a pastor and he says something really cheesy, I'm like, oh, do you have to do something cheesy? This is cheesy. It's going to be an acronym. I hate acronyms. This one, each letter represents something. I'm like, that's cheesy. This is a cheesy acronym. I'm going to warn you, but I think it's really helpful, so I'm just going to be cheesy. Forgive me. So in the Bible, God says, like, starting in the 12th chapter of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 12, and all through the Bible, he says that he blesses us so that we can be a blessing. Okay, he blesses us so we can be a blessing. We're going to use that word bless, B-L-E-S-S, as an acronym, and to give us a plan of what to do with these three people that God puts on our heart. Okay, so the B stands for be in prayer for your three people. So I'm going to commit to praying for my three people every day. And as you pray, what will happen is your heart will grow for those people. You'll care even more about them, and they'll become more open to God, because God will answer your prayers for them, okay? L, listen to your three people. Like, show them that you care about them as a person by asking lots of questions and then really listening to their answers. E, eat with them. Go out to lunch. Have them over for dinner. When you eat with a person, it grows your relationship. There's something about sharing a meal together that bonds people, okay? S, serve your three people. Look for opportunities to serve them. And maybe you're not typically like this. Ask God to help you. You can become like this. So your friend mentions, yeah, I'm flying out of town on Friday. Do you need a ride to the airport? Your friend mentions, yeah, I think on Sunday I'm going to paint my living room. Can I come over and help you? Just listen. Look for opportunities to serve that person. And then the final S is share Jesus with your three people. Now that you've prayed for them, listened to them, eaten with them, served them, you've probably earned their trust, right? Like they realize you're a genuine person. You truly care. You're compassionate. And so now you'll have some opportunities to share Jesus. You can share your Jesus story with them, like your Jesus story. So like how you came to faith, what God has done in your life. You can share Jesus' story with them. Like you might say, I know that you know that I'm a Christian, but I don't know if you know why I'm a Christian. Like, I wonder, has anyone ever explained to you, like, what Jesus has done for you in a way that makes sense to you? You could share an invitation to church. Like, you can invite them to come here where they can hear about Jesus and hopefully meet Jesus here. And we try to make this easier for you by providing invite cards that you could hand to a friend and by trying to make our church services a place where you can feel comfortable inviting your friends and hopefully they're not going to feel bored and we know they're not going to feel judged or anything like that. So you choose three people that I'm going to focus on and I'm going to pray that I can help these people experience and come to faith. And if one of them does, cool, I'll cross their name off and write a new one. I'm going to have three people. All right. Six habits, and I realize overwhelming amount of information today. Like I have some strategies I like to do as a speaker. I like to have one point. Today I had like 400,000 of them. I realize you're probably like, that was a lot. but we're not going to like just, here's the information, go, good luck. We're going to keep talking about this year. We're going to try to help you with this stuff. We're going to remind you about this stuff. And so this is kind of an introduction, and we'll keep hitting on it throughout the year. There's also a card, if you like want to put that card that you had that says one God, two, three, you can put that in a refrigerator or something just to remind you. Listen, if you do these six habits, you're going to grow. And the really cool news is we are still becoming. God's not done with you. You have hope. Like, your life can become better than it is. You can become what you want to become. More important, you can become what God wants you to become. And that will happen as we engage consistently in these six habits. So let's pray for that. Yeah, let's pray. God, I know that this was a lot of information, probably, honestly, probably more boring than a typical message here, but I also know it's way more important than any message we could do here, because without these six habits, it doesn't matter, like, whatever else we talk about, whatever else we try to apply, without these six foundational core habits, it's real hard to layer on anything good on top of a foundation that doesn't have the critical things it needs. And these are foundational. So God, my greatest prayer for this year is that every person in this room, including me, would make a decision today. Okay, I'm going to do this. One God, two communities, three friends. I'm going to do this because I want to become, God, what you want me to become. I want to live the best life I can live. Help us, God. There's going to be all kinds of things to hold us back and distract us. But God, would you help us to make these six habits our priority? And I pray all this in your name. Amen.